This is a safe place. This is a safe place. It really is. Whatever you need from God, He's here to help you. And this is safe. Because sometimes I feel I don't want to open up, man. What would God think? That's what He's wanting you and I to do, is to open up to Him. You're carrying things God doesn't want you to carry. You're going down roads that God never intended you to go down. But because I don't feel safe sometimes, but I got to understand, this is a safe place. I can trust God this morning. How many of you trust Him this morning? Come on, I can trust what He's doing in my life. I may not understand everything that He's doing, but I will tell you this morning, you can trust Him. Because where He's taking you is where you need to go. What He's working in your life is what you and I need for the here and for the now. As God is opening us up for other things that He's wanting to accomplish in our lives. Amen? So good to be here today, and I'm very appreciative of the opportunity to be here. I appreciate so much the ministry, Brother Bishop Schoonover and his wife and family and their kindness to us. About 12 years ago, many of you know, we started a church in the city of Union Gap, Washington, and we would not be where we're at today if it had not been for their kindness and generosity, not just with finances, but with people that helped us get to where we get. Nobody is an island to himself. You can't live for God by yourself. You need me and I need you. And when we can understand, we need each other. I may be a one-talent Christian, but thank God the one talent I've got, I'm going to play it. The one talent I got, I'm going to use it, amen, because that's the one God gave me. And so you may feel here today, I don't have much to offer. Just take that one talent and put it in the hands of God, and let's see what God would do with the talent that you have, amen. Maybe you're just saying, all I know how to do is greet somebody. Well, greet them with a big smile then. Greet them and let them know, hey, I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you're in the kingdom of God. And maybe you just got have a prayer ministry, then pray it up, man. Use that gift. Just pray. It is so good to see Brother and Sister Heiner here today. I remember, this is going to go back a few years, but I remember when the church started in our front room and Brother and Sister Heiner came to that. I'm telling you, that is the capital A for awkward. I was used to a building, and I remember them coming and blessing us and being in that service with us, and I deeply appreciate you guys and all that the Lord has done in your life. But Brother Heiner, I feel in the Holy Ghost to tell you, cast not away therefore your confidence, because He has great recompense of reward. I feel in the Holy Ghost, God's not done with you. The enemy may be lying to you, but you're not done. God's got more for you. He may take you another direction. I don't know where it's going to go, but all I know is I'm glad He's never done with us. Amen. I'm glad He's got more for us. I may be at a crossroad in my life, but thank God He's taken me the direction I need to go. Remember, the scripture said, for you are bought with a price. You are no longer your own. The sooner I can surrender to the will of God, the sooner I can give up my plan, my purpose, what I want to accomplish, to say, okay, God, what do you want? I got so many knots on my head from trying to do it my way. So how do you want this done? What do you want me to do? And I'm going to wait on you. I'm not moving till I hear your voice, till I get a clear direction. And we learn that walking with God is the greatest thing that ever happened. I wish I could tell you today that I was raised in church, but I was not. I am thankful to be in church today, thankful for what the Lord is doing in my life and for my children and all that God is doing. A baby dedication for some may not mean a lot today. It does for me. Because, see, I was 24 when I came to God, and I came out of the world, and there were grandparents alive in my day, but they didn't care about us, and they did not come visit us. They didn't buy birthday presents. They didn't send Christmas cards. They were never there. When my wife and I got married and we began to have children, her mother passed away at the age of 62 when Kimberly was born, our second one, and she was a tremendous grandmother. But my children were basically raised without grandparents. There were some alive, but they were never around. They chose not to be around. But see, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ in September of 1978, I said, it's going to be different from here out. How come you gave your life to God? Was it about making some changes in your life? Was it about things to be different in your family? Come on, we both come, my wife and I, from broken homes. She's the youngest of eight. I'm the second of six. And capital D for dysfunctional. But I came to God to make change and to have change. So one of my goals was that my wife and I would live for God and we would serve God in any capacity that God had for us. When God began to bless us with children, it would be that we would raise these children in the house of God. And whatever ministry God had for them, we would be behind them 100%. But the third thing that I said I'm going to work on, I'm going to be the best grandpa I can be. I'm going to be there every chance I can. I'm going to be involved in their life. There won't be a Christmas or a birthday or anything that doesn't go by that if I can't be there, I won't be FaceTiming. Thank God for FaceTime. And you can FaceTime and you can be there. Come on, life is what you make out of it. What do you, just want to kind of stumble through life? Or let's have purpose with our life. Let's leave a purpose behind. Hey, on purpose, I'm here to pray with you, to encourage you, to put the word of God into your spirit. Because see, that's what grandparents can do. So again, when we look at the role that we're playing today and what is God trying to do, he's changing generations. Come on, where sin abounds, grace doeth much more abound. It's crazy out there, but God's bigger than all the craziness. Come on, you wonder, how am I going to raise kids in the school system and the world's a mess? God's still in good shape, by the way. Come on, we don't put our eyes on the world. The Bible said, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. So we begin to understand, God, I've got to keep my eyes on you and my mind stayed on you. I want to begin today in Genesis chapter number 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 today as we look to the word of God and challenge ourselves in our walk with God. It's easy to become complacent. It's easy to go through the steps. I know what I need to do, and today is Sunday, and I got to get up and take a shower and get ready and be to church on time, and I'm going to go through the motions of church, and then I'm going to go back home. What do you say we disrupt that schedule today? Let's let God intervene in something in our lives. You know, just go home sad, glad, or mad. Just don't leave and go home the way you came today. Come on, let God do something in your life. What do you say? Come on, let's just let God have his way today. God's here to help us. He's here to help us. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Aren't you glad God's still moving? God's moving on somebody's heart right now. God's moving in somebody's spirit right now. You may be discouraged in here, but the Spirit of God is going to trade you discouragement for encouragement. Come on, you may be here and I don't know which way to turn. Well, God's going to take you from confusion to direction. Why? Because that's what God does. He moves on us. Amen. He speaks to our spirit. He moves on our heart. And so we're going to allow God to keep moving this morning. Amen. And God said, let there be light. And there was. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. And God called the light day and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. I want to minister just a little bit today on light versus darkness. When you read the first few verses of Genesis, it really talks about the spirit of humanity. We were dark and void in our lives and without direction, without God. Come on, it took the Spirit of God to move on us. We wouldn't be here today if God hadn't moved on our lives somewhere. If conviction hadn't come into my spirit and I begin to understand I'm a long ways from God. In fact, I don't even know who God is. But thank God that light sprung into my spirit and light began to show forth. See, because light is an illuminator. God can illuminate things in my heart that I do not know that are there. the light. Light comes from only one source of light, and that's God, who created light. I like what 1 John 1:5 said, and this is the message which we heard of him and declared unto you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Come on, ye are the light of the world. God is here to help us this morning, because there are things, if we are not careful, can creep into our lives. Now, we'd all like to say today, I never have any dark thoughts. I never go through any dark places in my mind. And, you know, every day is a bright day and every day is sunshine. But we'd just be lying to ourselves, wouldn't we? So we understand there's going to be this fight, this battle that is going to take place. Light has always been symbolic of good. It has always been symbolic of direction and clear. Thank God the lights are on in here today. We can see. If not, I might stumble off of this platform, fall on my face if I was in darkness here. But because light is there, I can see what's ahead of me. I can see what's out there. I can make adjustments for what's out there. Why? Because God is allowing me to see. Light is hope. You ever hear anybody say, thank God there's light at the end of the tunnel? Wouldn't you take it they were in a discouraging place in their life? They were in a dark place in their life, and they wonder, will we ever get through this trial? Will this ever stop? Will what we're dealing with ever change? Oh, yes, God is light, and there's light at the end of the tunnel. So we understand the light. Light and darkness cannot coexist, because light will always overcome darkness. No matter what you're facing, whatever you're dealing, preacher, you don't know how dark it is. I'm here to tell you, God's got light. If you'll walk in that light, allow that light to illuminate some things in your spirit. I'm a firm believer that the battleground is the mind. At my age, I'm still memorizing scripture. Still dealing. Why? I want my thought process to be God's thoughts. Come on, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Therefore, he talks about one in Psalms, if I can pull it here. It's my latest one to memorize. But it talks about, therefore, if I keep my mind stayed on him, I will have perfect peace. Are you troubled in your spirit today? Are there things you're struggling with in your mind? I tell you, there's perfect peace if I keep my mind on him. I don't know whether I want a divorce or stay married. Get your mind on him and get your mind off the divorce, and you'll work through your marriage. Come on. You got to keep your mind in the right. Don't go to those dark places. Isn't it interesting? There's light and darkness, but there's this gray area we call a shadow. I don't want to live in the shadows. Get me out where the lights are. And the older I get, I need more of them. And the light bulb's got to be stronger wattage. And because I got to be able to see. I don't like darkness, and I don't like dark rooms. I got to have the curtains pulled back. I got to see the sunshine or the rain or the clouds, whatever it is. But I want to see. Do you realize that people who battle depression, you like darkness. You put yourself in a place of darkness. I'm here to tell you, change your thinking and your mindset. Get your mind on God. Begin to read verses if you can't memorize them, but read them over and over and over. And then push those curtains back. Come on. Get some light in that place. Turn a light switch on somewhere. Come on. You can come out of that depression. I'm so glad this Bible has all my answers. If you're battling depression today, I'm going to help you out. You know how you can get in the light? Do what God did to Elijah. When Elijah had dealt with the calling down of the fire, and Jezebel began to put fear in his heart, and he was running from her. And yet, when in his depression, God said, you need to get up and go anoint Jehu to be king. I'm here to tell somebody, you need to go do something good for somebody else. Get your mind off you. Get your mind off your problem and do something kind for somebody else, and you'll find out you're going to start feeling better about yourself. See, the trouble with a pity party is this. Nobody comes, and if they do, they don't bring gifts. I don't want to stay in that place. God didn't put me in a pity party. God didn't call me to be in a pity party. But God called me to shake myself and come to that place of realizing you got to change how you're thinking, because the thinking that you have is not healthy. See, some of you stay in this shadowed area of past pain and past hurt and past discouragement and past failure. Somebody needs to get out of the shadows today and say, I'm walking out of this. Devil, you beat me up for the last time. You've kept me in this place for the last time, but I'm coming out. Come on, God is light. You may be here today and you're facing the battle of I'm worthless, I'm no good, I never amount to anything. Every time I turn around, I seem to be stumbling in my walk with God. Come on, you're going to have to change your thinking. You got to get out of that dark side of your mind and get over into the light side where God's working, where God is moving. I'll never have anything. Stop saying that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on, somewhere you got to start feeding yourself the Word of God. Life is what I make out of it. Then I want to do everything I can for Jesus Christ. And if I'm battling some things, we know already in Scripture that if I'm battling something, I better start finding some verses to memorize that connect me to victory over whatever I may be dealing with. God, I'm just lonely. I need a husband. I need a wife. Well, focus on God. Begin to pray. Begin to seek God. Don't let your mind take you to the dark place where you find yourself a long ways from God. Come on, get back in the Word of God. Be faithful. If God could bring Adam a wife called Eve, He can bring you a wife. Come on, He can bring you a husband. But if you focus on that, the devil gets in and your mind starts taking you to a dark side. There's nobody in the church, so I guess I need to look outside the church. No, you don't. See, that's the dark side. Because when you find her, you better realize she doesn't have your values, and she won't have your morals, and she won't have your love for God. And she's going to, not only is your mind already going there, but she's going to expedite it into a place you should never go. That's why the battle of the mind is so important. And you got to realize, I'm going to come out of this. I like what Isaiah 9:2 said. The people who walked in darkness will see great light. And those who live in a dark land, the light will shine unto them. Come on, there's light on the horizon. There's light at the end of the tunnel. You're going to make it. You're going to be okay. I thought we walked by faith. Substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not yet seen. But I will see the evidence of what I'm praying for. I'll see the evidence of what I'm looking for. If God's so good, why am I on this minimum wage job? Well, because there may be somebody you need to be witnessing to. Maybe you're going to be the only light in that place. And God said, I want you to sacrifice for a little while that we could win that man or that woman to God. Or you're going to affect somebody walking through that door. You have no idea the power of your light. You don't. You know why? Because you work on a job and you don't even think anybody knows you're there, that anybody cares you're alive. But people walk in. Sister Isabel, one of the ladies that came to God, and her husband Kyle, and it took 5 years to win them, folks. In and out and jail and drugs and all kinds of just craziness. But they're living for God today. She shared with me Thursday night at a Bible study. She said, Pastor, she went to college, got a 2-year degree. The college hired her immediately before she was even done with schooling. We want you here. And this is the thing. A young lady walked in. She said, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. And of course, Isabel said, what? And Isabel didn't recognize her. It was 2 years ago. She said, I knew you would make it. When I saw you, there was something about you. There was a glow around you. There was a determination within you. I just knew you would make it. And here you are, and you're working for the college. Isabel's now tutoring her. Come on, people see stuff in you you can't even imagine of the power and glory of God. Why do you think he said, ye are the light of the world? Come on, I created light. I filled you with the Holy Ghost. I got light flowing through you. And that smile, that twinkle in your eye, that determination on your job, somebody's watching you. That's why you can't let your mind go the wrong place. You got to realize God's got a plan. Amen. So we realize God is going to help us. Amen. So darkness, of course, we know today represents all kinds of ungodly and immoral and just things that are just simply dark. So we don't want to go there, do we? See, the trouble with the shadow, dealing with the shadow is because a shadow of fear, I'm half in and half out of church. Kind of like the man at the gate, beautiful. I'm not in, but I'm not out. What do you say we get in today? Let's just get in. Let's just commit. Well, I'm scared of commitment. Well, that's the problem. You can't make it without commitment. You got to commit. You got to commit everything. Come on. My background, I loved where what I came out of. I loved when God called me to serve him and to walk with him. My background in professional rodeo, I loved it. I had my own rodeo bulls. I had bucking bulls and arena and subcontract and Oregon State University rodeo team, Oregon, University of Oregon, all kinds of different stuff. Stuff went back and forth. But see, when God called me, I had to realize something. I don't get both. I can't have light and dark. So I've got to figure out which one am I going to give up? Which one am I going to walk away from? I'm going to walk away from darkness and I'm going to walk in the light. I'm not telling you that it was easy, but I'm telling you 20 some years later, 40 years later, I'm still in church. Hallelujah. Why? I made a commitment. I can't go back. I can't turn back. There's nothing back there for me. See, if you make a commitment, there's no turning back. But you got to make the commitment. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. This family member left church, and this happened, and that happened. Don't let your mind go there. I've lost a lot of family to church when I first came to God. My mom came in, a bunch of my brothers and my sister and stuff. I remember when we went through a church split back in those days, and I remember telling myself, if I have to by myself stand on a street corner and preach the gospel, that's what I'm going to have to do. But I'm not going back there. There's nothing back there for me. Why don't you just make up your mind this morning? There is nothing back there for you. Come on, he that putteth his hand to the plow and looketh back, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. It's taken me to the dark places in my mind that God said, I don't want you to go there. Because it takes you out of the light and starts putting you in a shady place. God, I don't want to be in a shady place where I am tempted to do something I already know better than to do. But because I'm in this gray area, I'm not in the light. I don't have that brightness shining through me. I haven't prayed through in 6 months. I haven't prayed through in a year. So I'm in this gray area in my life, and it's not God's fault, it's mine. When's the last time you prayed through? Isn't it amazing how much you can be struggling this morning? Go back in the history of your mind when you were struggling with something, but somehow you got to an altar, and when you prayed back through, it was like a regeneration of your spirit that said, I'm going to make it now. Everything's going to be okay. I had almost slipped. My feet were headed the wrong direction, but thank God I got back in an altar somewhere, and I got a hold of God, and he encouraged me, and he strengthened me, and he put his hand back on my life like I felt it before. Help us, Lord. Aren't you glad he's on your side this morning? Romans 13. I want to read verses 11 through 14. Are you glad for the word? And now, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. You know, isn't it interesting that most crimes committed at night? Scripture said, and they that are drunken are drunken in the night. See, darkness, I got to be careful. I'm just naive. I don't know if that's good or bad. But I can remember when my kids were in Bible college and they began to share with me that kids were nightclubbing. I just couldn't wrap my mind around that. I couldn't comprehend why you're going to Bible college to go to the clubs. Somehow light and darkness cannot coexist. You don't get both. You got to make up your mind. What do you want to do? You want to live for God or not? He loves you. You're important to God. You need to understand that. You count. You count. You're important. See, the devil beats you up by saying, oh, nobody even knows whether you're around. Nobody even knows your name. Nobody even cares whether you show up or don't show up. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You can't let your mind go into those places. I'm going to stay in the light because that darkness, that's a dark, dark place. When people pick up pornography, I'm here to tell you, they never intended to become hooked on it. But they let their mind go to a place that was dark, not realizing how dark it would be and how difficult it would be to come out of it. So you got to realize, see why I got to make a covenant with my eyes. See why that I don't need to look at everything that is out there and everything that somebody wants me to see. No, thank you. I'd just do a lot better off if I never saw that. No, I don't want to hear that joke. I can already tell that it ain't going to go anywhere I want to go. At the age of 64, I struggle a little bit to memorize scripture. I got a 15 phrase. Is anybody familiar with that term? And so, have you ever noticed that somebody, if you listen, tells one dirty joke and you can't get that thing out of your mind for 2 weeks? But yet you struggle to memorize the Word of God. Let me tell you something. I'm not better than anybody else, for I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But I'm a whole lot better off if I don't see that. And I'm a whole lot better off if I don't hear that. I'm not better than you. I'm not here to put you down. I'm not here to bring condemnation on your life. All I'm saying is I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it. It's going to take me into a dark area. It may take me weeks, months, or years to get out of. So I don't even want to go down that road. I don't even want to experience that. So God, help me memorize another verse. Let me put another set of verses together and hide the Word in my heart. Come on. He's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But I got to call on Him. I got to use the Word of God. It's a nice book, but it's got to get more than that to you and I. Oh, I know it's a great centerpiece. People walk in, whoa, that's nice. Thank you. Glad you liked it. But I hope it's dirty. I hope there's some tattered pages. Hope there's some scribbling across the top where the Spirit spoke to your heart and you said, oh man, I got to write that down. That was for me. I'm going to be encouraged today. I'm going to be strength. Come on, that thing's to use. It's not a decoration piece, but it is something God wants to do in my life. He goes on to say, cast off the works of darkness. Anybody like 1 Peter 5:7? Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Cast off these works. Do you realize that that is a very aggressive term? It'd be like taking a coat off and there's a bee in it or something. I mean, you wouldn't say, oh my. You'd be shedding that thing so fast and running the other direction. That's what God says you need to do. Cast that thing off. Cast that out of there. Cast that out of your life. Cast that situation far away. Amen. If you walk with God with a lot of stress in your life, you're carrying things God never intended you to carry. That's why he said, no, you need to cast out. I got a wayward daughter, a wayward son. I know, and I know it hurts, but you are not going to save them. Only God can. But no use losing your sanity in the middle of it. Why don't you cast all your cares upon him and let him care for that? Let him take care. God, I'm not big enough, but you are. God, you can do what I can't do. You can handle what I can't handle. Anybody hearing me today? Come on. You. I know you got to pray. And I know you got to seek God, but I don't have to carry it to the place it destroys me. Or I start doubting God. God, you're faithful. Faithful, faithful, faithful. You'll take care of this. It may be in your time and your situation, but I'm going to wait on the Lord. God, you're my only hope. This can't turn around if you don't work. Amen. And he goes on to say, so you got to cast them on and let us put on the armor of light. Oh, I'm going to get rid of those dark thoughts. I'm going to get some light on me today. I'm going to get a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost today. I'm going to let God encourage me today. I'm going to let God strengthen me. Come on. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He's not asking you to be strong in your flesh. He's asking you to be strong in your spirit. You'll get strong in your flesh. You can take a nap later. But till then, let's do something with our spirit. That when I wake up from that nap, the peace of God that passeth all understanding is resting in my spirit. And I can say, thank God. Thank God. I'm glad I don't got to carry that no more. I'm glad that weight is lifted off of me. Amen. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I just want to walk with God. Amen. So we got to understand that God is on our side and he's working with us. 2 Corinthians 4:4 deals with Satan, who's the god of this world. And the scripture there said he has blinded the eyes of them that they can't see. There's two types of blindness today. There's those that have been blinded by Satan. And then there's another group of us. I call this group willingly blind. The willingly blind are the unteachable. I know what the truth is, I just don't want to walk in it. I know I need to make change, but I'm not going to. See, I'm willingly blind. I'm staying in this dark place in my life. I hear the preaching, and God's dealing with me, believe me. But I'm going to be willingly blind, and I'm going to stay over here, even though it'll be miserable, even though I can't stand myself. Willingly, willingly blind. Letting somebody beat you down verbally. I'm going to just keep taking it. No, somebody needs to shake some stuff off today. Amen. Maybe I'm not preaching to anybody here. Maybe I'm preaching to all the people that aren't here today. Maybe I'm only preaching to empty chairs today. But whatever I am preaching to, God, help us this morning. Come on. Hey, I come for the help of the Lord. I didn't come to just shake hands, and I appreciate that. And I love fellowship. Don't get me wrong. But God, do something in my spirit today. Because that's why I came. That's why I came. I don't want to be willingly blind. I don't want to see truth. I'm willingly blind. Preach it, preacher, but I got my ear fingers in my ears because I'm willingly going to be blind. Anybody here, don't raise your hand, but are you willingly blind? You're making me nervous because it's getting too quiet in here. Am I making sense? See, I can buck the Spirit of God by a willingness to please my flesh instead of what the Spirit of God is trying to get me to do. That's willingly blind. What do you say we just kind of rip those blindfolds off today? What do you think we just get rid of that out of my spirit today? God, help me go from unteachable to teachable. God, help me go from the place where, bless God, I'm not changing. What you see is what you get. I had a lady tell me that one time. I was preaching. I don't even remember what I was preaching on, but she came up to the altar and said, I want you to know you got all the change out of me you're going to get, so don't be expecting any more. Folks, we're going to be making change till the day we die. Come on, we're going to be becoming more Christ-like. We're going to be created more in the image of God. His love, His mercy, His kindness, and His truth is going to continually be developed in my life. I'm constantly going to be making changes, getting rid of the old man and taking on the new man, looking at things from a different standpoint and realizing maybe how I've been looking at that is a little bit shaded. But today, God's going to illuminate some things. God, I see that. When Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3, He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That word see there means to perceive. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and they're not getting it? Then all of a sudden they make this statement. Oh, I see what you're saying. Folks, they didn't see anything. But they perceived. Revelation came. And what God's trying to help us with this morning is, I'm going to bring you revelation. You're going to see some things, but they're going to be spiritually. It may not be with your eyeballs, but you're going to perceive some things in the spirit where I want to take you. You're struggling with some things that I'm going to bring you out of if you just let me this morning. Now, again, I have to allow the Spirit of God to work. God loves you. You're important and you count. But if you say, God, not me, not today, God will say, okay. I'm convinced that my walk with God is something I got to reach for. It's something I've got to take hold of in my life. See, when Jesus would walk on the water, He'd send the disciples across the lake, and then He would walk on the water. I liked how the scripture said when the storm came up, and He would have passed them by, but they cried out. I'm here to tell you, I don't want Him to pass me by today, but somebody needs to cry out and say, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. I've been living in this darkness way too long. I've been fooling everybody. But today, I'm going to come into the light. Today, I'll get rid of the dark stuff. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, faith comes to me, but I got to reach out and say, that's mine right there. That's for me right there. That what you just said, preacher, that's for me. Then grab it. Say, okay, God, thank you. Thank you for seeing where I'm at. Thank you for seeing what I'm going. God's not here to condemn anybody today. Please understand me. He's here to help us. He's helped us to walk out of there. Come on. You condemned yourself way too much already. And God is saying, but I want to get you out of there. I want that twinkle back in your eye, that smile on your face, that kick in your walk. Come on. He said the devil's lied to you too long, or you have found yourself in a place of temptation and you went down a road you shouldn't have went down. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is going to take us out of that road today if we let Him. I don't believe anybody intentionally just goes down a dark road, but it starts out in a shaded area. Well, this really doesn't look that bad. Not knowing where the end was. See why you got to learn to pray? Because the Spirit will speak to you and He will tell you, you really don't want to go down that road. You really don't want to open that up on your computer. You really don't want to buy that. Because there's a dark side to it that you may not see. But the Spirit's trying to help me. I don't want to go down that spot. Do you? We begin to realize that God is trying to help us this morning. Light always illuminates. Light always brings light. Have you ever noticed that you can buy a flashlight so you could see, but you can't buy a flash dark? Just try it. Just stop on the way home. Fred Myers. You got any flash darks around here? When they haul you away. See, because God illuminates, He doesn't put me in darkness. He's not trying to give me more darkness. He said, I got to get more light into you. Brighter light, more light. See, with light comes love. We all crave love. We can say, ah, rah, rah. But if we'd really be honest, God is love. God is light. And if I'd fall in love with Him and let Him love me like He wants to love me, you'd be amazed how less you would want the dark side. because I'm allowing him to work. Then Jesus spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that hath fellowship with me shall not walk in darkness, shall but have the light of life. God wants to help us. Could we go to 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10? Dealing with light. If the musicians would come, the light of the world wanting to work in your life and mine. What do you say the battle ends today? Had enough? Beat up, lied to? So ashamed that I wouldn't even come to some church events. Not because anybody put me down, not because somebody didn't greet me, but because of what I'm living a lie. And I'm doing that to myself. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Please wrap your mind around that. See, how come it is so easy to believe the negative? You know, my old man told me I'd never be worth anything. You'll be in jail before you're 18. I've had to overcome everything I'm talking to you about. I learned to read and write at the age of 18, or at 24 when God called me to preach. At the age of 24, I began to learn how to read. I only read the Bible for 10 years. I read by memory. You don't think the devil can't beat you up? When you can't read, you can't spell. You struggle with some things. I remember reading and not knowing what I read. I remember reading out loud, and my wife would say, do you really got to read out loud? I'm just trying to understand something here. I'm just trying to wrap my mind around what God trying to tell me. And then my pastor would preach on a passage I read, and God would illuminate it to me. After a while, I got to where I could read. If you wanted to really humiliate me and embarrass me, 30 years ago asked me to read out loud, and that's after I've been in church 10 years. Many of you know I'm involved in Life and Focus Ministries, but in that I would go meet with parole officers, judges, all kinds of people, and do presentations. But I'd always pray, God, I hope they don't have me read something. I'm here to tell you can overcome anything. My old man said I'd never amount to anything. My old man beat me. I have no good memories of my father. I remember blood flying. I remember him driving down the driveway and he wasn't ever coming back. That was a happy day in my life when I'm about 10 years old. Dysfunctional? I'll match you story for story. But see, my God is greater than dysfunctional. And God can teach you to read when you don't know how to read. God can teach you to spell when you don't know how to spell. Come on. God can replace no confidence with confidence in Him. Come on. I'm here to tell you there's no excuse is what I'm trying to tell you right now. There's no excuse why you can't live for God. Come on. God always took the nothingness of this world and did something great with it. What do you think he created the world out of nothing? He said, I don't want anybody to get the credit for this. Trees, you're not going to get the credit for this. Sun, moon, star, you're not going to get the credit for this. I'm going to create it out of nothing because there's going to be a whole lot of people that feel they're worth nothing. And I can take them and I'll use them mightily in the kingdom of God. So you can't hide behind. I was told I'd never amount to anything. I thought we repented of that the day we gave our life to Jesus. Come on, I thought when you were baptized in Jesus' name, all of your past was washed away and you come up out of that water in newness of life. I am not who I used to be. You are not who you used to be. Oh yeah, people may remember your past, but God doesn't. The one that counts, He doesn't. Why don't you work on a little spiritual amnesia today. Quit thinking about the woe is me and how I was raised and what I had to come through. Folks, I remember in the 60s, the tragedy that we faced was a handful of us. Do you realize the Union Gap School District, that 60% of all families there are single parent moms? Your sad stories, along with millions of others. You're not in a little group of the elite anymore. The world's caught up because it's became more dysfunctional. Let's not focus on that stuff. See, I've learned how to walk away from that. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Where's my faith come from, the author? Son, you can do this. Okay, Dad. Okay, Father, I can walk with you. Yeah. In fact, I'm going to put a call on your life, and you're going to reach drug addicts and alcoholics and gangbangers and all kinds of crazy people out there. Why? Because I filled you with the Holy Ghost. When God called me into a drug ministry, I've never done drugs one day in my life. I've drank too much. But I never forget what the Lord spoke to me. I said, God, I can't do this. They'll spot a phony a mile away. You know what the Lord, he shut me down and he spoke to me and he said, all you need is the Holy Ghost. By the way, that is all you need. For 20 years, I run a drug program, a jail ministry, and won many to God. And I never taught on drugs one time, never talked about drugs one time, because all I needed was the Holy Ghost. I needed the spirit of ministry in that jail cell. Come on, in that jail room. I just needed the Holy Ghost to fall in there, and God would take care of the rest. Tears would stream down their eyes. I remember, I don't know if Nick was around, we baptized 10 one Sunday afternoon in the jail in the back of an old Ford truck. Man, we were having church. Why? God said, I can take nothing, and I'm going to make something happen out of nothing. If you want to do something for God, and what I'm talking about is finally yielding to God and saying, okay, God, you know, I fought against you on this. You've asked me to do some things, and I've questioned whether I can do it. In fact, I got 350 excuses why I can't. I believe today, let's get rid of all the excuses and say, God, let me step out by faith today and let me do what you're asking me to do. Even though it doesn't make much sense to me right now, I know it will. I know it will. Lord, I pray just baptize us with some faith right now. God, a fresh baptism of fresh faith right now. Come on, some of you need some fresh faith right now. Come on, reach out to God right now. Lift your hands, lift your heart, lift your voice to Him right now. God, I need some fresh faith. My faith has been wavering here, God. My mind took me to some dark places, and my faith had just kind of dwindled. But, oh God, if you would baptize me right now, God, with some fresh faith, faith in you, God, not faith in myself, but faith in the Almighty God. Come on, that's it. Come on, come on, that's it. God, fresh faith. Just let it fall right now, God. Baptize every one of us right now, God. Fresh faith, fresh faith, fresh faith, God. A fresh baptism of faith of the Holy Ghost right now. Fresh faith. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on, come on, come on. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Come on, come on. Somebody shake yourself right now. Come on, come on. You're going to get a breakthrough today. A miracle is your address right now. Come on, a miracle is where you're at. Fresh faith. Fresh faith. Fresh faith. Fresh faith. I want you to thank the Lord right now for the faith. Come on, I want you to thank Him out loud right now. God, thank you. Thank you for fresh faith right now. Thank you for fresh faith right now, God. Lord, I'm sorry that I stumbled in these areas, but God, fresh faith. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, because fresh faith, new faith, renewed faith today, God. Hallelujah. Now, I want all of you to stand with me if you would. We're going to transition right now, okay? We're going to transition the faith that you got right now, that fresh faith that God has given you right now, that is a faith that you're going to transition yourself to this altar. And whatever dark side you're battling with, whatever things you've been wanting to overcome and have not yet been, God just gave you the faith to walk up here and lay it on an altar and leave it on the altar and walk out of here a changed man, a changed woman. Anybody want to use your faith? This altar is open. Do you want to use your faith in God right now? He loves you. Come on. He loves you right now. Come on. This ain't about who's watching, who's kidding. We don't care. This is between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. God, thank you for that fresh faith. Now I can put that on the altar. Now I can overcome that problem. Now I can deal with that situation. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, that's it. Beautiful. Come on. Beautiful. That's it. This is between you and God today. Come on. This is between you and the Lord today. He's good all the time. Yes, He is. Hallelujah. And thou wilt have perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Oh, yes, Lord. Okay.